Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We've got a special treat. We have, I got a couple announcements Jeff wanted me to reiterate, so if you'll just bear with me. There will be, I know they announced it earlier, a youth Bible study Saturday night, and guest speaker Matt Watkins, and that'll be in the fellowship hall at 6:30 on Saturday night. And we haven't contacted the other churches, but all the churches in here are welcome to come. So we pray that a bunch of folks will load up some cars and make their way to that. and tonight, we have three testimonies and a special song at the end. So we just in a minute, we'll call them up and let them have their liberty. And there's also on Sunday, we have 15 testimonies. It's going to be special. There was a sovereign move of God on the way home at a rest area, and we're rejoicing in that. And so you're going to get to that's a carrot on a stick. We'll see you on Sunday on that one. And there'll also be a video clip of the actual. Someone had made a homemade movie of what God did there at that rest area. It's going to be, you're going to enjoy that. So that's on Sunday. And then on tonight, then we'll have this the three testimonies: Bethany Suchar, Rebecca Manning, and Nathan Arendt. I'd like for the brothers to come forward, and we want to pray over. We have a prayer blanket, and this is sent from Mary Flint for Sister Judy Flint. And it says here that this Brother Flint takes mother, been very sick, and who is and has been very ill for years. And this is, we're going to pray over this for Judy Flint. So why don't we stand? And we're just going to, some of the brothers want to come up here with the lining, different ones. Oh, sorry.
Amen. Now, this is a point of contact. This is nothing more, but it's an important point because if there's a lot of love went into this. This sister, I believe it was Mary, she made this. And when she saw the service online, we were praying for prayer shawls at some of the sisters here. She said, I just knew I had to make one for Sister Judy. So let's just join our hearts together as we pray God's blessing over this. Father, we just know that your word is true. We realize that there's a point where our faith is released in the word of God. And Sister Judy, Lord, this is going to be sent to her. And we believe that the healing virtue of Christ, the anointing of God, will be upon this prayer blanket. And the love of God that was in the heart of Sister Mary, who, as she made this for her friend, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would send it forth and let it accomplish what you sent it forth to do. And we give you the praise already because we see with the eye of faith this evening a healing power flowing through our sister's body. In Jesus Christ's name we ask these things. Amen and amen. All right. All right, you can be seated again. I just wanted to be seated while we pray. The young people that are going to be a part of tonight, if you'll come up, we'll start with Nathan Arendt first. But all of you come up, and you can find a place on the platform. Maybe no. It's all right. We're just playing this by ear, ain't we? We're going to sing first, sweetheart. Is that what you want to do? Okay, testimonies first. All right. My wife said, don't ask anybody what to do. You're supposed to have all the information on the sheet, right? Well, you know me. Go ahead, Brother Nate.
Well, I can't say I wanted to go first, but I guess I don't have a choice. I'll warn you right now that I'll probably start crying, so just bear with me. But I went to camp, and I didn't really have anything particular that was on my heart. I just wanted to go to camp because it's just a good atmosphere to be in, and I knew God could work with me there. He could work with me anywhere, but just getting set aside and concentrated on God, just so much can happen. And while I was there, after I think it was the second night service, I really finally had a burden on my heart just for all the other youth that were there, just for those that I loved and that I wanted to see come to God. And that I realized that I wanted to have faith for them, but I didn't feel like I had faith. So at the end of the service, you know, everybody's always praying, and I was just praying to my seat. I was just like, God, give me faith. I want faith for me and for those around me. And I just kept praying that and kept praying that over and over again. And finally I stopped and I said, why am I praying for faith? I was waiting for this feeling to just come up inside me and say, yes, I have faith now. You know, it's like it was just going to hit me. All of a sudden, he's going to decide to give it to me. But it hit me that faith isn't some feeling that you get. You have to step out and you have to grab what's yours. You can't just wait for God to suddenly hit you on the back of the head. You got to take a step forward and say, I believe this because the word says it. So I said, God, I believe those souls are mine. You said I could claim that. I said, I believe the Holy Spirit's mine because you said it was mine. And I just took him at his word. I said, I don't know when you're going to do it. I'll just wait for you. It's in your time. It's in your hands now. I'm just claiming it. Amen. So I waited all week for something to happen. And at the end, you know, nothing actually, I never found anything happen. It was a Saturday night service, and I didn't see anything in particular happen. But I just noticing God working. He's just slowly working, just softening hearts. But I never saw it manifest. And so I was a little bummed, and I whined to Andrew because he's the one I always whine to, and he always gets me in line and tells me to get over it. So, and then I kept claiming what I had in the week and that I knew God was going to work. I had no idea it was going to be at a rest stop in Kentucky. But God had a time, and he said it's now. And we pulled over, and I heard somebody screaming. I was freaked out at first, and then I realized it was Morgan. So, you know, and it was all right. And we just had a prayer meeting in the parking lot. I don't think we cared where it was. In fact, I think we liked it. You know, we were able to say, we're not ashamed of God. He's working now, and that's when we're gonna meet him. And we were there, I think, for 2 hours. And God just worked in so many lives there. And it doesn't take a sanctuary. You just have to be willing to surrender at that time and just meet him where he's at. And I just praise him for everything he's done. It was just, I can't stop praising because he gave me faith, and that's just the building block of that pyramid. Now that you have faith and you can build on that, you can get so far. He'll just take you to places that you never know you'd go. So that's my testimony, and I made it through without crying.
I just want to thank the Lord for an amazing experience at Louisiana Camp. It was a tremendous blessing. Of course, you know, just being there with like believers, it was wonderful. As most of you know, February of 2006, the Lord sought me out, and I gave my heart to the Lord, and I just couldn't believe the amazing contrast, you know, between black and white, you know, from coming out of the world in such bondage to such freedom and such liberty in the Spirit. And it was a couple months later in April that I went to Louisiana Camp, which was last year, 2006. And when I got there, it was a wonderful experience, but it was really, really hard for me to see some of the people in such bondage, you know, that I had come out of. And I couldn't really understand it. And honestly, it pulled on my flesh a little bit because I was, you know, just recently born again. So it was really, really hard for me to deal with, and I didn't really, I mean, I went to the Lord in prayer, and I kind of stayed in my dorm the first year, pretty much most of the time, and I just read, you know. I just want to thank the Lord for the change that he's done in me over the past year, because from 2006 Louisiana Camp to this year, I can't believe how much he's worked on me, how much of a burden he's given me, you know, for other people, for those people, you know, that I saw in bondage. He's given me compassion, you know, and an understanding and a greater love that's just indescribable. It was just like night and day from from last year to this year, like how much, I mean, he just, you know, going there this year, I could see how much I've grown over the past year and how much more free I am, you know, and how much liberty I have in the Spirit. It's just amazing. And I just wanted to thank the Lord, you know, for what he's done for me there. Praise God.
I went there to Louisiana. This was my first year going, and I went there expecting the Lord to like answer like all my prayers like in order like on the first day that we went there, and on I think it was Saturday night or Friday night, I don't know. Brother Donnie gave an altar call, and when I was in like the second row from the front, and he called the people up, and they were just like all packed down to my row, and I just prayed to the Lord to fill me with the Holy Ghost, and I just started praying, and I thank the Lord for filling me with the Holy Ghost and for giving us a good time at camp.
We know you never outgrow your need for your life to be changed. It still makes a difference when you let him have his way, doesn't it? That's refreshing. You see, that's the next generation if the Lord tarries. So we're all getting older, and they are too. But the Lord's setting the stage, isn't he? He knows exactly what he's doing. They might have thought it was over when they left the parking lot down there at the campground, but it was just beginning. That's exciting. That's a sovereignty of God. You know, On the day of Pentecost, God didn't ask any of those people's opinion if it's okay if he'd come down and fill them all with the Holy Ghost. He just did it, didn't he? In fact, he announced it beforehand. Amen. Just good to hear those testimonies. Looking forward to Sunday. Why don't we stand and we'll just have a short message tonight. We're going to try to honor the 50 minutes so you can get home early tonight, and that's a promise, not a wish. Praise the Lord. Let's look at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And we'll just use one verse for our text tonight. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. May God add his blessings to the reading of the word. Let's just look to him. Blessed Father, we ask you to come in our midst tonight. We know, Lord, that there's more for us. The young people went down, some of them with experience with God already, but they came back with more. And Lord, we want to go from here tonight with more of you. We can never get too full of your presence and of your word. And we pray that you would just give us understanding from the scripture, give us a time of fellowship around your word that we might grow thereby. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the Bible is filled with terms of endearment. How many know that? If we treated our wives the way we treat God, every Sunday at 11 o'clock, at 10:30, you'd say, "All right, honey, it's 10:30. Pucker up. Let's have a big kiss, and we'll see you Wednesday." But if it's not too far to drive, if I'm not too tired, you understand. And then we get all worked up. We're gonna make love to the Lord Jesus on Wednesday, and that's for most Christians. That's the extent of the relationship with God. How many knows God wouldn't be pleased with that? But your wife wouldn't be pleased with that either, would she? You see, God wants us to have an intimate walk with Him, and there's. I just wrote a few of the scriptures, and I got a quote or two that I'd like to read. But do we approach the throne of God out of duty, or do we approach it because there's a relationship there, or that because we want a relationship? Now, we're not going to deal so much tonight with how to, because many times there are obstacles in the way that prevent a person from having an intimate relationship with God. Just for an example, if you had an abusive father or a mother, particularly a father, the father can damage the ability for a child or a son or daughter to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Because your first encounter with God has skin on it, and it's called daddy. It's called mommy. And when that relationship is damaged, then it affects that relationship is damaged. It affects this relationship. How many know that's true? And I'm talking when I say that, some of you out there are saying, "Boy, that's the truth." But you see, many times, in order to get over the problems this way, you have to take it to God this way. But if this relationship is messed up, many times we block our way to God. We lock our heart away. When you get hurt, if someone hurts you, you never outgrow this. Trust me. When someone hurts you, does something despicably wrong, what do? You pull your heart back, don't you? You see, God doesn't, and subconsciously or otherwise, we many times pull our heart back away from God. Well, we'll give him part of our heart. How many know God's not happy with part of your heart? He wants you. And of course, you know, we're in the midst of a lot of counseling and marriage counseling and personal counseling. And the key to peace in your marriage is opening your heart and giving your heart to your spouse. Well, Jesus, he looked for a relation. He looked for a type to describe the relationship we have with him. And he said, that day you'll know that I'm in you and you in me. I'm in the Father. Oneness. He said the very same relationship that I had with the Father, it's yours. How many believe that? Now that doesn't mean Sunday and Wednesday and occasionally on Sunday night. That's a daily affair. Brother Branham called it's a love affair. How many understand that? A love affair. I want that love affair. I'm 55 years old and I'm looking forward to the next 25 or 30 or 90 years, however many the Lord gives me. I want to cultivate and develop that love affair with Jesus Christ. I think the best years of my life are yet ahead of me. Because the older you get, the more you realize that's what's important. But it doesn't mean that you have to do your duty and that makes God love you. That's performance. God's not interested. I didn't say you shouldn't perform and do what's right. But the motive should be love. If you ever fall in love with Jesus, nothing else matters. It'll all take care of itself. Now that sounds like quite simplistic. But I want you to turn to a very familiar scripture to those of us in the Message, Revelation chapter 3. And one of the reasons why I know I'm not going to keep you long, I don't have too many scriptures written down. So I told when Jeff said I'm vowing to keep myself under the 55 minutes, I said I'm the worst offender. And so I promise you we'll look at a few scriptures, read a few quotes, and give you something to ruminate on when you go home. And you'll be able to get up at 4:30 in the morning and go to work. Some of you. And some of you won't be able to. I mean, if you didn't get up at 4:30 yesterday morning, you probably won't tomorrow morning. I don't get up at 4:30 because I have nothing to do at 4:30 unless I'm not feeling well, okay? So much for that. Revelation chapter 3. It's one that we look at. Now, the whole message to the last age. Let's just read verse 14 real quickly, very familiar. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest thou not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. Pretty bad shape. Who is that making that statement right there? Who's he addressing? The Holy Ghost-filled believer with a love affair with Jesus? I've been reading the Gospels, and I'm amazed. We think of sweet Jesus, and he is sweet. But there's one group of people he didn't cut them any slack. Can you guess who that is? Listen right here. Hypocrites. Scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Those are synonyms. Those words all mean the same thing. And we'll read a few of them. You talk about a scathing denunciation of Jesus of the hypocrites in his day, and he has the same scathing denunciation if the shoe fits in our day. You see, only Christians can be hypocrites. If I read it in the Amplified, it shows that the Pharisees cover up their sin with pretense. Of course, this is 2007, and we've got the message of the hour, and the prophet of God's come, and glory, hallelujah, we're just going to heaven. And we would never do that, would we? I'm afraid we're the only ones that can do that. The sinner on the street doesn't live a life of a hypocrite. He knows what he is. He doesn't make any pretense. But believers, because we all want to belong, is that a fair statement? Every one of us in this room want everybody to know I'm a part of what God's doing. And if there's a struggle inside, we cover that up with our every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before face. And you never know what's going on inside the heart of the believer. I didn't say you weren't a believer. I'm just saying there's struggles inside. And God wants to heal that hurt. But before he can heal it, you got to say, here it is. And if we hide behind hypocrisy, if we hide behind our... And it's not just hypocrisy. Sometimes we hide behind anger. Nobody's got the Holy Ghost in this church. I've heard that. Have you? And you know why? This person said. Because your pastor don't have the Holy Ghost. Now, the next question you want to ask, well, do you have the Holy Ghost? Well, of course. Now, that's anger coming out, but it's also hypocrisy. And if I run you down, that makes me look all that much more spiritual. But it does nothing for intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. I got news for you. God loves the one who's struggling in the midst. But he has less, and I don't say he doesn't have mercy for the hypocrite. But he just lays it out plain. He says, you say, but this is what's true. That's our age. Brother Bram said, the Laodicean age is the most deceiving age of all. Why is that? We'll read a quote here in a minute, maybe right now, where he says that a man gets gifts and go live with another man's wife. Does that mean there's no real Christians anymore? That means there's a hypocrite out there, but that shows proof positive, Brother Bram said, that there's a genuine. How many thankful for the genuine? He said, well, I believe I'm the genuine. I do too. But I'm not going to hide behind hypocrisy or some other... I want everything on the table with Jesus Christ. Because he wants to heal everything in your heart. The complete circle of your life, he owns. He's in control whether we give him control or not. But he wants us to choose the relationship above all others. Young people have a difficult time choosing a relationship with Jesus Christ. One reason is it's never been demonstrated to them at home. You see, because parents like to... I'm a parent. That's pretty apparent, isn't it? And I know I demonstrate things that my kids didn't process. Because, like I said, we all live hypocritically. But now that I'm getting older, I'm looking at the calendar. I'm looking at my birth date and my driver's license. And I realize I don't have so many birthdays as I had. I'm way further down the road. I got more behind me than I got ahead of me. And Brother Bram could come to the same conclusion. It's at age, I think it was 50, well, in his early 50s. He said, well, boy, if you're going to do something for God, you better get busy. Been around the world 7 times. Hundreds, tens of thousands of converts. And yet he won't do more. But there came a point in Brother Bram's life, and I preached this a long time ago, and I don't have those quotes in front of me, but I thought it gave us a picture into what God wanted for his bride. And he said, because you made some right choices, there's a huge reward waiting for you in the love divine. And he was up there in the mountains, and he heard this voice. He said, why don't you walk with me? Now, he wasn't saying, when you have time. He was inviting him to an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, that wasn't just for William Branham or all the patriarchs or all the stars in the Bible, you know. That's for you and me. I want it. I don't go to rest till I get it. I want to walk with him. There's every waking moment you can spend in prayer. I'm not saying you're on your knees all the time, but I want that relationship where when I step out to do something, I have the channel is open enough where he can say, don't do that. Or why don't you go do this? That's a relationship. See, that's what Jesus came at the end time. He came to restore all that cankerworm, palmworm, caterpillar, all those bugs eat. They eat away at the veracity and the purity of the word, which brings relationship. We are children of the word. Our relationship is word based. It's not emotion based. It's not noise based. I've been through, brother, sister, I've been there, done that. If we didn't have two or three prophecies and interpretations, so-called, in our charismatic church growing up, not growing up, but in my early years as a Christian, then we didn't have church. Find chapter and verse for that.
That's right.
But you see, what Brother Bam said, they have traded emotionalism for the Holy Ghost baptism. You realize, you read the early messages, Brother Branham, nearly every sermon he hammered you Pentecostals, you Pilgrim Holiness, that's my background. You shouted and you said you got it, and many shouted and didn't get it. Those are all fine and good. He said, I enjoy shouting, I enjoy the emotional. He said, if you're not in any religion that's not got any emotions, dead.
That's right.
But he said, make sure your emotion's placed. So the hypocrites, they don't have no emotion or life, either one, but they cover up, they say, I am holy. They cover up their pretense. It's a pretense, the scripture says. Now, I realize I'm probably preaching to the choir tonight, but I think we all have lived here somewhere at one time or another. And some of us maybe have lived there so long we don't realize we're living there.
Amen.
Either say amen or oh me, one of the two. And Brother Bob's not up here scolding anybody because I've not arrived yet. I'm just pressing. How many are pressing with me? Okay. So you understand I'm not. But look at the next verse here. Where are we at? Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. Now that's spoken by someone who says, bless God, I'm in the message. Do you believe, Brother Branham? You're out. I have all the answers. Now, they wouldn't say that. He was letting them know that all of their hypocrisy, one thing was true. You're in a mess. Hypocrisy never makes you closer to God. Let me tell you what, I would say in the top five marriage relationship killers, you know what it is? I'd say toward top three. Hypocrisy. Number one probably being rebellion and bitterness and hypocrisy in that order. Because the rebellion that you had toward your parents, the rebellion that you had toward your those in authority all your life, once the honeymoon wears down, sometimes on the way home from the, on the way to the honeymoon suite, all that anger, all that bitterness, all that defiance gets turned to the wife or the husband, and you turn it on each other. Unresolved rebellion doesn't make good marriage basis. Neither does it make good marriage to Christ. Got to disconnect all that rebellion because that's a relationship killer. Now, he wants a relationship with us. He said, it's I and you. And you and me. Me and you. It's us. And the fellowship that we have with the Father is pure. And he's made every provision for us to have that. So the devil doesn't sit back and say, oh, it's in the word. I guess I'll just go on. Find some sinners to mess up. No, he's right in your lap. He's right on your tail because he knows exactly if that emotional connectedness with God gets started, you'll never go back. When I counsel a couple, and you'd be surprised how many have never been emotionally connected with their spouse. And when I dig a little deeper, I find out that they really don't feel loved by God. And they don't feel like they're doubting their salvation. They're doubting whether God loves them. Well, how could he love me if he let this happen? All these things rolling around, and that killed it. What I'll tell them, I said, I want you to get addicted to emotional connectedness with your spouse. Because if you can ever experience what it is to be, if all the barriers removed, no hypocrisy, no rebellion, no bitterness, no secrets. You see, this has been a standing joke with me, but it amazes me that we think we can hide something from God, but we do it. Because we don't want God to even see in there. Because it hurts too much. Because we're embarrassed or God knows what all. And so we make the outside of the cup nice and white and shiny. But don't you dare look inside the cup, because you won't like what you see there. And so the devil comes and sits on your shoulder and says, if the people in this church knew what you were really like, they would nobody fellowship with you. Oh yeah, you're right. We got to keep that wall. And every so often you got to make sure that wall is intact. Because the devil lied to you. You see, nobody in this room would ever feel bad towards somebody who's having struggles. Now, I say that because I know what happens. I know I've been guilty. Well, what's the matter with that person? Can't they just straighten up and fly right? Instead of drawing them into your heart and say, what's going on? Well, you know, I struggle too. I've got this problem. And I really appreciate it if you'd pray with me about my issues. Instead, we get up on our ivory tower and we talk down and say, you know, if you just get the Holy Ghost, everything will be okay. Oh, that makes you feel good, don't it? Now he just told you didn't have the Holy Ghost. Oh, but that makes you really want to strive to get it, don't it? Well, what's the use of trying? You see how this thing just goes on and on. And some of you have been in this cycle for years. And there's never been anyone to care about what's going on in your heart, but Jesus does. Because he wants an intimate relationship with us. With you. All of the above. But he ain't going to say, all right, bucko, let's have an intimate relationship now. Is that the way God works? No. He's a gentleman, Jesus, Brother Bram said. He's a dove. If you do something I remember the testimony, some of you heard it. And I talked with, before he died, what's his name, out west. Yeah, Riley. What was his first name? Dawson. Yeah, thank you. Okay. And a friend of mine had talked to him right up to the minute he died. I mean, just a matter of a few minutes before he died, before he was unable to communicate. And on that, I guess it's okay to tell it now. On that testimony, he got that there in the afternoon. They were going up to the mountains on a hunting trip for several days, just him and Brother Branham, nobody else, and the dogs. And he said, I really did bad that morning. And I was so condemned, and I knew Brother Branham was looking right at my heart. And I just felt so condemned. And we weren't down the road just a few minutes, and he looked up and says, what's going on? Everything okay? He just dropped his head and said, no. Brother Bram knew, and what he said was that I had moral failure with a woman that morning. Make it polite. I knew better. I was raised in the church. But I was a mess. And when Brother Branham discerned what that sin was, he turned to him and said, Dawson, he said, no. The devil laid a trap for you. You were weak. He said, but you know, if you just ask Jesus to forgive you, he said, he'll come right back. Now, what were you thinking, you moron? Is that how we would handle it? What if it was our son? Oh, you embarrassed me. You're going to pay for this. No, you wouldn't tell him that either. But you just make life miserable. And when someone falls, that's when they need the benefit of your relationship with God to draw them in. How many can say amen? And he just said, it's okay. Just confess that to God. That dove of the Holy Spirit will come right back. I just wept like a baby when he told me, because that's the compassion of Christ. But that was done by a man who had a relationship, my brother, sister. If your relationship with Jesus is on the splits, if it's strained because of your, fill out the grocery list, hypocrisy, bitterness, anger, abuse, unforgiveness, then you can't show that to your brother, your sister. See, Brother Bram could show mercy because he understood mercy. We're going to get out of this first scripture here, and we'll go on. I got a quarter or two. All right, somebody set the timer. We got, was that, I can't, 8:29, is that about right? Okay. I counsel thee. Now, God's giving counsel. I love this counsel. To buy of me. How many know there's only one place where you can get free of this? Hypocrisy. Fake. You know, when Japanese stuff started, I'm old enough to remember this. When Japanese stuff started coming over from the United States, from there to the United States, it was called, we called it Japanese junk. It was, now we're getting that kind of stuff from Sri Lanka and places like that. But that was, and the first cars that came over weren't that much pumpkin. I mean, because they didn't have them bumpers that took, you could make a Japanese car out of the grill and the bumper off of a Chevy. I mean, that's how much steel was in those cars when they started coming over. But it didn't take long till they set the standard now. And used to, if it was plastic, it was no good. They're making incredible things with plastic. Suspension parts made out of plastic. They've got engines that are made out of plastic with cast iron sleeves where the pistons are. But plastic used to mean junk, no good. But that's not the case now. But here he is. He said, I wanted you to buy from me gold tried in the fire. Oh, well, that means it's going to get hot. How many knows, in order for all the dross to be burned out in the gold that God says is his children, it's going to take some heat. You know, nobody wants to get hot. Unless it's 10 below zero, you want to go to Florida. But when it's 105 in the shade, you're going to head back north because we don't like the heat. You know, the old saying is if you can't stand the heat, don't come in the kitchen. Well, this is where God does his work. It's under the heat. And that's his love that says, let's get that out of there. Oh, but Lord, it hurts. Yeah, but it's going to hurt good pretty soon. Because I want a relationship with you. You know, he doesn't give up. Did God ever give up on you? He said, I want a relationship with you. Well, I'm not sure if I do, but I still do. And he keeps moving in your life. And it's exciting. Some of the people that you wrote off years ago, they're serving God, got a relationship with God today. It's a good thing you and I weren't judging the papers, isn't it? Because we wouldn't give them air if we had them in a jug. Because, or you just don't know what they did. Jesus doesn't care. I want a relationship with him. I want that intimate. It's a love affair. And he's not happy with a Sunday, Wednesday relationship, if you can call it that. He wants you. He wants me. And the more we surrender, the more he loves. The more he loves, the more we surrender. It's a love affair.
Yes, it is.
You try in your own marriage, try loving your wife beyond her faults, her issues inside. You just love her. All of a sudden that's going to melt away. I get the privilege of watching couples melt into each other's arms with years of bitterness and fighting and fussing when they begin to see that there's a little boy that needs the little girl. And they both forget about their pain and start focusing on each other. That's what Jesus wants you to do.
Amen.
This is very practical stuff tonight.
Yeah.
He just wants you to quit focusing on your pain and take it to him. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Amen.
Can you do that? Well, I don't think he wants what I got. I just think I went too far. Try it. He's not like your dad. He's not like your brother, your sister that hammered you or damaged you or abused you emotionally or spiritually or physically, even physically. He's different.
Amen.
He don't care. He just wants you.
Amen.
He said, I want that testimony to come true. I and you, you and me.
Amen.
Now here, and we see this picture. I'm going to read this and we'll go on because I'm going to run out of time. That you would counsel thee to buy of me. Now, of me is important. So you only got one store to shop at. That's God's store that burns out all the dross, all the junk, all the pain inside. And he said that thou mayest be rich. That's the opposite of poor, wretched. That thou, and white raiment, and white raiment, That's the opposite of rags. That thou mayest be clothed. That the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. Now you still remember being naked. You still remember some of that garbage and that pain, but it don't appear anymore because he takes the pain. He heals the relationship. He gets this right, and this all of a sudden, plink, 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 falls right in order. So this is all right here in the scripture. And anoint your eyes with eyes so that you may see. Oh, that's a good one. And that one probably ought to be first, because if you can't see that God loves you, if you can't see that he wants a relationship with him, with you, so that all comes in a package. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. Now there's a responsibility on us. God loves us, he corrects us. What did Brother Branham put it like this? He said, trials are the loving hand of Jehovah. And someone out there says, you've got to be kidding me. A loving God let that happen? The answer is yes. Who was the loving God who let Joseph be sold into slavery by his own brothers, rejected, not because he was a mean old booger. He wasn't mean. He was spiritual. His trials were because he was doing right. Job lost everything he had because he was doing right. But that's the loving hand of Jehovah, because look what he got. After it's all said and done, God got the glory and Job was restored. Manyfold. And just about the time Brother Bram called Joseph the son of prosperity, just about the time he got out of the dungeon and he got running Potiphar's house, oh, finally, thank you, Lord Jesus. Wham! Back to prison for another, like 17 or 18 years he's spent it. Not the Holiday Inn like we have downtown Lima here. We're talking about a real prison where it wasn't pretty. But God had a plan. You see, God's got a plan in all of our lives tonight. And the ultimate plan is he wants a relationship with you. And if he can bring circumstances where you'll just surrender, that's all he's asked. That's all he wanted the first day you were born. But we're a little bit stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart sometimes. And God knows what God. I'm thankful that God knows how I'm wired. How about you? Well, not that you're glad that God knows how I'm wired. God knows how you're wired too. And he knows exactly what connections to make throughout the days that he has ordained for me to live on this line, so that I can be a productive citizen in the kingdom of God. And this, he has but one goal: relationship with his children, so that he can manifest himself unto us. That's John 15. But how many know that the devil's got one goal too? Steal, kill, destroy. So we got a battle, don't we? Who wins? White dog, black dog. Well, guess what? The black dog ain't no way he can win. He might win a battle or two, but you're his. You see, we're not talking about a casual acquaintance that you bumped into Jesus in the mall one day. We're talking about an intimate relationship. He sought you out because you were his. Now, if you don't think God sought you out, think back again. I was talking with a brother just recently. I hope I don't embarrass him. Jeff Sutra. I said, you realize the mercy of God? He stopped you in your sin. He stopped you in your tracks. 18 years of age. He's out drinking with his buddies. Accident has caused the physical problems that he's got now. And he was supposed to not live. And then he said, well, he'd be a vegetable. He's far from a vegetable. Because God had a plan. And the devil can't bamboozle God's plan. He wanted a relationship with Jeff Suchar. And the devil couldn't take him because it wasn't time. And he spent all those years nurturing, pulling the strings. And all of a sudden, Jeff says, ah, that's my Lord. And if he never understands anything else, he understands God spared his life to serve him. Well, y'all could stand up here. We could spend the rest of the time we have. You've given testimonies how God stopped you. He said, that's far enough. You're a chosen vessel unto me. Did he do that just so you could go to church 3 times a week? Pray and read your Bible every day? Or did he want a relationship with you? Now those things, that relationship with God includes those things, But you can do those things and not have a relationship. How many can say amen on that?
Yes, amen.
It has nothing to do with performances. It has everything to do with God wanting us to surrender to Him. So the opposite, what is the opposite of intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? Hypocrisy. Now let me read a little quote here. I got several, and I probably won't get to. Let's look at some more intimate language. Look at John 15 if you got your Bible there. And I never did get to the punchline in Revelation chapter 3, but I guess that's all right. Hallelujah. Lord, touch my body. I got out of this. I was all day in the chair, and I got up, and I was like this. And I said, Suzanne, just stand in front of the mirror getting ready to come. I said, I can't stand up. And I opened my mouth to say, well, I'll just have to lean on the pulpit all night. And I said, no, I'm not going there. And she just laid her hands on the small of my back. I'm standing straight. It's a small thing to you, but a big thing to me. Verse 4, John 15. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Unalterable law of God. Well, bless God, I can do it myself. God says you can't. Now, who are you going to believe? Well, I'm going to do the best I can. Oh, that's wonderful. I had a brother. I still do have a brother, actually. He's done body work since he was 15 years old. And nobody gets him to do body work anymore because all he has time is to do his own stuff. He's always got projects. But when he was in his 20s, he had a buddy. You know, everybody got buddies that want something. Said, Brooks. He said, how much did you charge to paint my Camaro? He scratched his head and said, how about $800? That was that's 25, 30 years ago. Oh, man, he said, I was going to help. $1,200. God don't need your help. He can do it. Can you say amen? Many times we get in the way because we want to help. Oh, I was going to help, so the price goes up. I never forgot that. And those of you who are tradesmen out there, you'd rather do it yourself, wouldn't you? Don't give me any help. If you want to help, go home and pray for me. All right. Let me help you get over that problem you got that's just destroying you. No thanks. If you're at it, you see, you know what happens? If we see a hurting brother, and they're all over the room, just look around. Everybody's got something that's going on inside that's bothering them, that they struggle with. But they're too scared to get their head bit off many times, or if people knew. But what if you humbled yourself and cared? Because the minute you judge someone, says, don't you know that's sin? Don't you know Brother Bram said don't do that? Oh, that's a good one. Don't you know the Bible says you can't have the Holy Ghost if you do this, this, and this? No. Oh, well, that, of course, that really makes them feel good. They say, oh, I'm glad you told me that. Now I feel great. Ever anybody respond like that? Why is that? Because they already know. If you've got problems in your life, if you've got sin in your heart, if you've got things that you struggle with, you know what the Bible says. You don't need somebody to quote Scripture to you. You need someone to love. To get down in the mud, Brother Ram called it. And care. It'll change your life. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your children, your relationship with your children. I promised I'd be done in 10 minutes, so we got to hurry. I am the vine, you the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and withered. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now that word abide is a very good word. M-E-N-O, meno. That's constancy. That's never varying, never leaving. You there's a place in Christ where you abide and you can't even imagine not abiding. That's relationship. But it's not a one-way, so God's not up here saying, well, if you just get good enough, we can have a relationship. He never says that. That's what we say.
That's right.
Because if you could get good enough, then you wouldn't need him to start with.
That's right.
Come on, brother, sister. We have prayer requests every service because we can't do anything about those. We got to give them to him. You know why when you pay your tithe every month or every week or ever how you get paid? Well, those of you independently wealthy pay them every year, I guess. I don't know. That's a weekly, monthly, yearly reminder that you need him. You're giving back to out of your bounty that God has blessed you with. You're giving back that which is his already. That's just a start. And your offerings is giving out of your pocket then. But you see, that's a constant reminder that, Lord, we need you. If you don't think that works, stop paying your tithe and see what happens. Oh, you'll still pay your tithe. I told you about the preachers. Two ministers got together and they was having lunch. They get together quite often. He said, man, he said, I'm really struggling. He said, people just don't pay their tithe. And so you ask the other pastor, he says, how many pay tithe in your church? He said, all of them. He said, no. How do you get that? He said, well, some of them pay them willingly, and the rest allow the devil to extract them, but they all pay. Car breaks down. Kids get sick. This unexpected, your tithes get paid. The devil extracts the tithes. That was free. That wasn't in my notes, but that's just for what it's worth. You see, you can't afford not to pay tithe. But when a devil extracts them, you don't get no credit in heaven. you don't get the joy of giving. Hallelujah. All right. So he says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Verse 7 says, ask what you will and it shall be done. That's quite a promise. It says, the Father loved me, so have I loved you. How did the Father love Jesus? Was a pretty close relationship, would you say? Yeah. You mean to tell me that's for me? Yes, it is. Oh, you mean I don't have... It's all him. Amen. And he wants you... See, what caused us to repent in the first place? And to turn our heart toward God? When we saw that he loved us while we were yet sinners. He chose in the Garden of Eden to die for us. I did something to my young 12-year-old heart. And I ran to the altar and poured my heart out on the altar. I didn't understand all the theology, but all I knew one thing. Jesus loved me. He wanted to set me free from my sin. Amen. I know there's been several million more sins since then, but he still loves me enough to pay the price for those sins. Pretty good dealing. I'll trade my sins for your peace, Jesus. But you know what? That's just God. You see, we have this idea that God's some long-fingered, you better watch out, or I'll bust your knuckles for you. Get that vision out of your head. It's not, now he does. He wants you to obey him. He wants you to do the things which are right. But out of a love relationship comes obedience. If you don't think so, just some of you engaged to be married. I knew this was going to be tough. Engaged to be married when you, and you husbands, you know, give your wife to be on her wedding night. Just give her the list of things now. I expect eggs sunny side up with fresh country sausage every morning at 8:00. And don't forget to clean the toilets twice a week. And when we get kids, you know that those diapers are going to be your responsibility. And don't forget, kitchen, I want it spotless every day. You got that? Love you, honey. You think God gives you that kind of list? How many of you wives would like a list like that on your wedding night? But how many of you wives would do that list and more if they just loved, if you knew your husband loved you and cared for you and wasn't concerned about the to-do list? He was concerned. And some of you wives give your husband a to-do list, and that's a condition for love. And so you figure God has a to-do list too. And that's a relationship killer. Forget the list. Seek him. Find the heart of God. Open your heart to God. And all that other stuff will just take care of itself. Brother Bam said, he said, I went to every bar every hellhole that I wanted to since I got saved. Because he took the want to out. But there was a relationship. That relationship has to be maintained. It's not automatic pilot. I love it. Remember the little clip we showed the last time we preached about the guy? In the ancient Hebrew. And by the way, I can say with confidence that's in the library now. I've had that thing since July, and I assume that it made the rounds from me to Jeff back to the library. But we have 4 or 5 copies in there now. I would encourage you to get this. Some really neat stuff on that. I just took a small portion. But he said, allies. Husband and wife are supposed to be allies. You do anything for your ally, right? Because they work. That's what the Parakletos is, your ally. He's one alongside to help. No one likes, if all Jesus did was just tell you what to do and bust you when you did wrong, you'd be frustrated, wouldn't you?
Yep, amen.
But some of you, that's all you know. You figure God gives us a to-do list, and this is a to-do list. You got it wrong. Brother Bram said this is a love letter. Oh, that's a whole different ballgame, isn't it? Relationship. How many want a relationship with Jesus? I don't care what relationship you have today, you want one better tomorrow, don't you? And it's not rocket science. You don't have to have a LLD or a THD or whatever it is. It's just open your heart and this Lord Jesus, this is here. This is who I am. And I can't stand it. Do you ever talk to God and expect Him to answer? Some of you talk to God like you talk to your wives. You give them your grocery list and say, see ya. Can't talk about anything intimate. Well, it's quiet in here. Because that's not manly in today's society. I'm telling you what, your wife will get so excited when you open your heart to her and begin to cultivate a relationship based on emotional connectedness, spiritual connectedness, and all the secrets going by the boards. The same way Jesus loves it when we say, oh God, I'm undone. I'm a mess, but I don't want to be a mess. Do you want me to be a mess, Jesus, for the rest of my life? Why don't you ask Him that? You want me to carry this bitterness? You want me to carry this anger? You want me to carry this pain? This is killing me, Lord. Do you know what's going on inside my heart? And He'll say, yes, 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 no. Don't carry it. I understand, but don't carry it. That's what you do with your best friend. You just ask him a question. All right, we're going to read a quote and we're going to hush. Read John 15. It's all about a love relationship. Keep my commandments. There's responsibilities? Yes. Brother Bram says this. He says, you know, people read the Bible. In reading the Bible, you don't want to just read it like you're reading a newspaper. This Bible is hid from the wise and prudent. I don't care how great your school is, your seminary, you never will know nothing about God until you get in love with God. You have to read between the lines. It's hid. When I get a letter from Mrs. Branham, now she'd say, well, dear Billy, I love you very much. I'm thinking of you. That's what she's saying on the paper. But I can read between the lines because I'm in love with her. And I know what she's talking about. Now, someone else might read that letter and wouldn't think much about it, but I do because she loves me and I love her. It's a love affair. And when we're born again of God, and when you read the Bible, it becomes more than just a story. It's a love affair between the believer and God. One more. A little quote. Remember I said hypocrisy is a relationship killer. It kills, it's a relationship, it's a marriage killer, but it's a God to the sons and daughters of God killer. Brother Ram said, amongst a lot of people, we find where emotions and so forth, there becomes emotional, high emotional pitch. There becomes tattlings, backbitings and all kinds of ungodly things. Brother, that's sulfuric acid to the church. I'm here to tell you that's sulfuric acid to your relationship with God. You see, that ought not to even be named. But he says, it's demon power, spirit of men and women who get among one another and try to push off and say, this one's not right, but this one's not right, and that's not right. And if you chase it down, 9 times out of 10, it's the very person that's making the stir that's not right. What are they doing? Covering it. Covering their sin with hypocrisy. God hates that discord among the brethren. Be reverent, be holy, love God, stand by Him as long as you know your life is divvying up with the Bible, with purity of heart and purity of thought, and love towards your brother, trying your best to uphold the kingdom of God. In doing these things, dressing right, living right, talking right, going to right places, then you can have all the emotions you want. One other. When he gets all done, he says, you're getting ready to pray for the people. What does he tell them? That's it. Let's everybody stand up and let's just shout. Did you ever hear no brother Bob do that? I'm not. But you know Brother Bob enjoys shouting with the rest of them. But there was something about the reverence and the relationship the prophet had when he began to minister in the Spirit. He said, don't move around. Nobody look around. Just be real, what? Reverent. When Brother Brandt, when the angel Lord came in that car, and Brother Ed Biscoe tells about, he said his whiskers were standing on edge, and he looked like he was terrified. He wasn't shouting. He was reverent. But look at the instructions you get. Now, just a minute, everyone be reverent. Don't move. Stand still. Pray with all your heart. I've talked to people that have had interviews with Brother Brandt, and they said, you repented, and then you repented of your repenting. And then you repented of your repenting of your repenting. And you just would make sure that, oh, you're just scared to go in the presence of that prophet. But it was all unfounded. He just loved you. Amen. He just ministered the love of God to you. Once you got in the presence of God, it was no fear. Right. Amen. He said, now don't be emotional. Have faith. Is it hard to be both? Sometimes, you know what? Sometimes we mistake fear for faith. Fear hath torment. Fear is not faith. Your emotions will never build. It'll build a material, an intellectual faith. Your emotions will build intellectual faith, but it'll never build a faith in your what? Heart. Let the word sink down. Just believe God. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. I'm going to close with this, and I'm 4 minutes past. All right. Actually, I didn't get started till 10 after, so you all, I'm still within the 55 minutes. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. Let me look. No, back here. Matthew 23. You can read this when you get home. But you see, constant. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. He never said scribes, Pharisees without backing it up with hypocrites, pretenders. Woe, 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 woe. And all of a sudden, so he just, I had a teacher in theology class when I was just a young Christian. And we were going through the Old Testament, New Testament, Greek. In Old Testament Hebrew, and I never didn't get no degree, but I got some neat information. I quoted him a while ago. He said, "This is a scathing denunciation of what God thinks about hypocrisy." He didn't give those Pharisees any attaboys. Well, you did pretty good. No, he said, "You have made the word of God of none effect." You've destroyed, you don't go in yourself, and you keep people from going in. You don't go in yourself, you keep people from going in, but you don't even go in yourself. On, and it's just one after another. But he changes his tone when he gets down to the very last. If you'll pick it up at verse 37. O Jerusalem, you who murdered the prophets, stoning those who were sent to you, how often would I have gathered your children together as a mother gathers her brood under her wings, and you refused. Behold, your house is desolate. And he pronounced judgment, but he reached out. He came to the house of his friends, and the Bible says he was rejected. But he still said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Do you think the Father forgives you and me tonight? He said, well, we sure have made a mess of serving God. Yeah, I concur. We've all done that. We sure have kept God from getting inside because we just don't want anybody in there. But God sees what's in there before you open it, but he's not going to do anything about it until you open it to him. You see, once the relationship gets healed, once the relationship gets opened before God, you'll never go back to that hiding things from God. Now that works in your marriage too, but we're talking about this relationship tonight. And if there's anything God hates, I don't know what it would be more. He had more compassion for the woman at the well than he did for the scribes and Pharisees who wouldn't repent. She couldn't, because of damage in her heart and the things going on inside of her, but they wouldn't. I don't want the test. This is many years ago, dying. This individual was dying, and she had some bitterness in her heart. And the pastor at the time went to this individual and said, you've got to let it go. And for years I thought, this individual said, I can't. But she said, I won't. Well, that's tough. How many of you got things in your heart right now? I don't know what it is, and I don't really care. I just want you free. I want us to have that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ that transcends every trial that you have. It's not that most of you can't. Jesus has come to make your can't a will. See, that's what the cross is, where your will crosses his. And he said, I surrender. What's the payback? What's the benefit? Is there a benefit of living a godly life and walking in relationship to Jesus? Oh. If you did it for 10 minutes, you'd change your life. And I'm not saying we're all a bunch of dirty, rotten, scuzzy sinners in here. We're children and sons and daughters of God who need each other to love. We need God to manifest himself in whatever's in the way. Can't we get that out of there? Do you think God wants you to live for the next 20 years with the issues inside that cause you to be angry? You got to be kidding. So, 55 minutes. Started about so we can stand and look to the Lord tonight. You love the Lord Jesus tonight? Amen. Do you know that without a doubt in your heart that he loves you?
Amen.
Everything else is superfluous. Nothing else matters. So let's just look to him tonight. If the musicians go ahead and come, and we'll sing a chorus or two and let you get home early tonight. Blessed Father, we know that the great love wherewith you loved us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Our minds are finite. We can't comprehend why that God would love a sinner such as I. But we're glad you did. We don't know why, but we're glad you did. And Lord, we're many years past our conversion, most of us in this room. Would you show us how to get all the barriers to that intimate relationship with you? It's not difficult But we have to make the first step. Would you just give us peace tonight? And as we bow our hearts before you, before we go to bed tonight, or whenever we get alone with God, with you, Lord, would you just open our hearts and heal that impediment that's in our hearts? And all of us have got things in there that we just don't want to go to. But there's one underlying theme tonight. We want a relationship with you, and we know you want a relationship with us. And that's a win-win, and we thank you for that. Bless the people tonight. Be with our pastor as he's gone for a while. We pray that you just give him the rest that his physical body needs and his spiritual body needs, and bless his time and protect him over the journey, we pray. Give us all traveling mercies as we go from this place. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I sang a line from it a minute ago, and I forgot what it is already. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. We'll sing that. Oh, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He was in my soul. The verse. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Lord Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand, now Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it my soul. Jesus paid it. There is no other.
rest to the weak, gives new life to the homeless. There's no doubt about it. Let's just raise our hands and we sing it once again. He's my Lord, amen. Yes, He's my Lord. There is no other one who can calm the storms of life.
Lovely Father, our Lord, when we bow our heads to you, Lord, we are bowing to our Lord who has opened his heart, our husband who has not barred anything but opened his heart to us fully in this hour. Lord, that's what this message is about. You've opened your heart to us. You've held nothing back what's good for us. You've opened your heart. Lord Jesus, let us open our heart to you. Let us hold nothing back. Let us open our hearts to the Almighty God, even right at this very moment. Lord Jesus, you've declared us to be free. You want us free. You want that relationship, as our brother spoke of. You don't want that hypocritical stance. You don't want us to hide anything. We don't have to hide it. We can give it to you. We can open our hearts. Lord Jesus, let us do so right here tonight. For Lord, we know, and if there's those here that don't know, that you love them, Lord, may that become a reality to them. That Jesus loves me, this I know. Lord Jesus, may you take every individual tonight, Lord, under the hearing of this, your voice that's been spoken. And may you do a work of cleansing. Lord, you're just calling for them, calling for each of us to come up higher. To come into that relationship with you alone. Lord God, let it be so. Let us hold nothing back. Let us open our hearts to thee. Lord, we love you and we want you. We want you with all of our hearts. And Lord, if we'll open our hearts to you, we'll open our hearts to our wives. We'll open our hearts as you opened your heart to us. We'll love like you loved. Father, we pray and we ask this for thy glory. We thank you for the words of life tonight. We give you praise in Jesus Christ's lovely name. Amen.
know, some of the greatest times that I've had is just sat and talking to him, praising him and worshiping. His spirit comes down. Make love to him just like you do your wife, like you do the others. That's just love him. Amen. He loves it. Amen. Yeah, sing it. Like you're dismissed. All hail King Jesus. All hail. praise.